announcements, and we'll pray together, and then we'll be bringing up Pastor Pat and his son-in-law, who'll be sharing with us a couple of things. This week, our third and final vacation Bible school of the summer. We are full up in the preschool area, but we have four or five spaces in the first through sixth grade classes, and so if you have kids that are of that age, or grandkids, or nieces, or nephews, or your next-door neighbor's kids, and you just like to get rid of them for the week, it's inexpensive, a great ministry opportunity, and so that's Monday through Friday. You want to bring the kids at, by, I think they said if you bring them at 9 tomorrow, they'll know for sure if there's room for them, but be prepared. If there isn't room, you got to take them out and do something real special. So anyway, that's the other part. What else is going on? A couple things. Dawn has taken our high school group down to, at least a bunch of the high school group down to an orphanage in Mexico, and they do need some materials, not Dawn or the kids that are going, but the actual orphanage itself. So if you want to find out what they're in need of and if you might want to participate in that, go to the missions information booth immediately after the service. And our mission team down to Costa Rica is back and alive and safe, and hopefully we'll get some praise reports. We've been getting them, but we haven't been able to bring them all to you. We'll try to work that out for next week. Something else. Pastor Pat, he's got a great DVD of this very presentation. It was done at my home church, Calvary Costa Mesa, so you get a bonus. You get to see Pat when he was a little younger, and you get to see my home church. But for now, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, again, we come to you recognizing that, well, unless you work by your Spirit and through your Word, our ears, Lord, will be far from receptive, our hearts far from prepared. So we pray that you'll work in us, and that, Lord, you'll use your Word, and by your Spirit, you would take us deeper and further in our understanding of what it is you're wanting to accomplish in and through each and every one of our lives. We pray for any that have never really committed their lives to you, that have never realized how perfect your plan for them, that this would be the day. For those, Lord, who are sort of on the fringe, maybe they've walked with you and grown in you, but for whatever reason, Lord, things have sort of gotten dull and dry and they've begun to drift. We pray you'd bring them back, Lord. Work your will in every heart, we pray, and all agreed by saying, amen. Well, listen, let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Pat Lazovich as you find your seat.
Hey, good morning. Prior to pastoring, my wife and I made pottery for 15 years for a living, and that's kind of where this came out of, is a passion for clay, and this ministry came out of that. And so hopefully today you'll be blessed by this. Before we begin, I want to read out of Jeremiah 18. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." And God's telling Jeremiah to go and watch the potter, and what you're going to see this morning is basically the same thing. The art of making pottery has not changed over the millenniums. The only difference between Jeremiah's day and our day was, in Jeremiah's day, they would have had a huge stone wheel that was real heavy, it had a hole in one side, and the potter would have someone turning it for him and spinning it for him, and Pastor Sam didn't want to do that, so we got an electric wheel. Other than that, it's exactly the same. So, and I believe that's why God used this in Scripture, is because it hasn't changed over the centuries. Now, I want you to notice something. Here he says in verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." He's saying, Jeremiah, I want you to go watch something, but I want to speak to your hearts. And that's our desire this morning, that God would speak to your heart, that you would actually hear him for what he has for you as an individual, what he wants to do in your life and in your heart. So this morning, what we're going to do as we begin is, I'm going to attempt to make a pot. Sometimes it doesn't work, so you need to pray hard, but I'm going to work on making a pot, and I want you to just watch. I want you guys to be Jeremiah. I'm going to be the potter. All of you Jeremiahs are going to come and watch a potter, but here's the important thing. I want you to be sensitive to what God has for you. As you're watching and using those powers of observation, you listen to see what he has for you as an individual. I'm told as I travel around and do that this is some of the most powerful time in the ministry. This is you and Jesus, just you and him being alone. Jeff's going to sing a song that he wrote that goes along well, that just really gets you to thinking that you really need to hear from the Lord. So we're going to begin now. Right, we got one made. That's always hard getting that first one done. Hey, Jeff did a great job on that song, huh? That's one that Jeff wrote, and he's got some others out there on a CD if you're interested that he wrote for worship. Hey, as I worked on this, hopefully you noticed that I used a lot of water. That was, for me to make a pot, it's essential that I have water. And, you know, in the Bible, it says that God's word is water to our soul. It's the water that washes and cleanses us. So God likens his word to water. And just like a potter has to have water to make something on the will, so God has to have his word to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. Now, I brought several pieces of clay this morning, and we're going to work with. And as I hold these two up, from your perspective, they look pretty much the same. One's a little bigger than the other, but other than that, they look pretty much the same. But from my perspective, there's a huge difference. This one is soft and pliable. I can push my finger in it. This one is hard as a rock. It's been out in the Chico sun for 20 minutes. It is so hot here, man. I want to go back to Arizona and cool off. It is like ridiculous. Sorry, but man, people told me, you're going to Chico, it's hot. And I thought, I'm from Arizona. Wow, I didn't know you guys got this hot. But anyway, as this sat out there, it got hard. And now listen, if I put this on the wheel and spin it, all it's going to do is just beat me up. I can't make anything with this. And you might say, well, then is it hopeless for that piece of clay? No, it's not. And that's why I love to do this presentation. All I have to do is dump it in this bucket of water for a couple hours and pull it out, and I'm going to have soft, pliable clay that I can work with. And it's the same with your heart. Soak it in God's word and it becomes soft and pliable. Now, I know in an auditorium this size that there's some hearts in here like this piece of clay that are hardened to God, period. And then I know some of us, we're hardened to what God wants to do. He's desiring to do something in our lives. And we've got our heels dug in and we're kicking and screaming and we don't want to go. And we're like this piece of clay. And all you got to do is soak your heart in God's word. And he can begin to work, and I want to encourage you to do that. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to put him over here, and I want you just to keep an eye on him throughout this presentation, because you know what's going to happen to him? Nothing. Now, that's a drag, isn't it? Think about your life. Do you want to get to the end of your life and be bleh? Be just a lump of clay stuck? I don't want that. And you know, I don't think you do either. Now, listen, the world tells us the cool thing to do is reject God and the ways of God, and the in-hip, you know, thing to do is go the way of the world. But I want to tell you something. The most uncool thing on this platform this morning besides me will be this lump of clay, because nothing's going to happen. And I don't want that at the end of my life, and I don't think you want that at the end of your life. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go through a little bit of the process here. And do we have any potters out there? Are there any? We got one up front here. Cool. Now I can get help if I need it. Anybody try this? Like in high school or something? Yeah, a couple other hands went up. We'll use you too. But hey, if you remember those of you who have tried this, if you remember, the hard thing to do is to get the clay centered. You got to use water and you spin the wheel and you got to put pressure on the sides and pressure on the top, and you want to get it turning centrifugally. I remember trying to teach pottery. By the way, I never had a successful pottery student. I never taught a person how to make a pot. And it might be my impatience, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But listen, this is the hardest thing to learn, and usually we work and we work and we work. And I remember when I was in high school 5 years ago trying to learn this, and I was working at it, and you know, I'd worked like 20 minutes, and I called the teacher over, and I go, Mr. Turner, how's that? And he says, you know, our art teachers are so encouraging, man. They're such good. They're amazing. And I remember he came up, and he goes, oh, Pat, you're so close. He says, just work a little bit more, you know, and just keep trying and put that pressure on there. So, you know, after about another 20 minutes, I got it to about like this. And I go, Mr. Turner, how's that? And he goes, oh, you're so close, but class is up, you know. And so then you have to stop. And that's why most of us never get through that first part, because it's hard to learn and we give up. Now, I liken this to the Christian that you want just enough of Jesus so you don't go to hell, but you don't want enough of him to really change your life. In other words, you're not centered on Christ, and that's a dangerous place to be. Well, you know, it's like this one. When you're 16, 17 years old and your art teacher tells you it's close, but you need to keep working, you're 16, 17, 18, you know everything, right? Teenagers? And the teachers, what do they know? So you're thinking, I'm going to make a pot. So this is that person again that's not centered on Christ. And let's see what happens. So you begin by opening it up. And as you're working on it, now some of you out there are going, man, that's better than I ever did. You're doing great. But as you look at this, it's kind of wobbly. And you're thinking, that's not doing too good. And this is your life when you're not centered on Christ. Now listen, Satan comes along and he's going to whisper to you, you're all right. You're fine. Look at that guy. You're better than him. And here's what we do. Here's what we do. We go, yeah, huh. I know that. And so, but you know what? Jesus loves us so much. He's not going to leave us there. So he's going to bring some pressure in our life. And along comes the pressure. And, you know, we begin to be stretched and growing a little bit. And, you know, we think we're okay. And, you know, you're kind of going around wobbling like this. And, you know, there's Satan. He's still whispering, you're fine. You're okay. And, you know, Jesus, he's saying, man, you know, I'm going to bring a little bit more pressure in your life. So along comes some more pressure. And, oh, Pastor Sam, look at my life. It's ripped and it's torn. And he says, yeah, I know. He says, you weren't centered on Christ. How do you know? Are you a prophet? And here's what he'll tell you. No, we all saw it. You were going around here like this, you know. And listen, now listen, we all laugh, but isn't it true that others try and warn us and tell us, but we won't listen? Now, you might say, is it hopeless? No, all we're going to do is take this guy, mush him. Now, mushing, I know, is not fun, you know, but Jesus is going to mush us up a little bit and then center him, and we can make a useful vessel. Now, we don't have time for that this morning, so we're going to take him off, and we're going to put him up front here, and he's kind of got a little tongue sticking out here, so we'll make a little eye and an eye and see his little tongue sticking out down here. So listen, we'll put him right there, and you can watch him. Now, this next one, as we work on this next one is, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I love to listen to people's testimonies. I think that's a great way to be encouraged and strengthened because, you know, all of us, we come to the Lord in different ways. Some of us are, you know, very radical conversions. Some of us, it's a process of time, maybe months or, you know, weeks or months. And some of us, we grew up in the church. And, you know, we can honestly say there's never a time where we doubted the existence of God. There was a time where we gave Jesus our heart, of course. But, you know, we've kind of just always been raised knowing there is a God. Well, I was one of those radical conversions in my life. I got out of the army in 1974 and I got a haircut in 1983. So that kind of tells you where I was. And you know, I was one of those long-haired hippie potters in Bisbee, Arizona. Do we have anybody that knows Bisbee? Anybody here hear of Bisbee? Oh, good. I thought you weren't going to raise your hands, and because it is world famous, they say. So, you know, I'm checking as I go around. My wife and I were making pottery, and she got saved, and people began to witness to me and share with me. And I was pretty resistant for a while in getting saved. And then, you know, one night I just called out to Jesus in my bed. I realized that I was lost and I needed a Savior, and I got saved in my bed. Now, some people go, really? You never, like, raised your hand in a church or anything? And I said, no, I just called out in my bed. And now here's the amazing thing, and please don't send emails to the church and nasty letters and stuff, but this is just an illustration. When I was in that place with long hair, I was so liberal, I was so out there that I thought Democrats were, like, ultra-conservative. That was my mind frame. So I'm way, way over here, and I'm thinking these Democrats are ultra-conservative people. Well, you know, I called out and got saved. The next morning I woke up, I was a short-haired Republican. That's how my worldview shifted. Now, again, you know, I'm not saying you have to be a Republican to be saved, but that's just an illustration of worldview shifting, and that's what happened. I was a radical, radical conversion, and that happens to some of us. And, you know, I got up that morning, and I had a thirst and a desire to read God's Word, and minister to my heart, and you have that fellowship and that intimacy with him. And I'm sure a lot of you can have had that experience. But, you know, for some of us, what happens is, well, pretty soon that kind of gets cold and dry. And, you know, we don't read our word the way we did when we were first saved. And, you know, hey, we go to Calvary Chapel, and Pastor Sam teaches verse by verse. He'll get all the way through the Bible eventually. Well, if he's like me, I've been teaching God's word for 16 years now, and you know what? I haven't made it all the way through yet. So 16 years is a long time to wait to get through the Bible, isn't it? You need to be reading the Bible on your own, and I believe you should be reading it every year on your own. But, you know, as some of us, we get kind of cold, and we quit reading, and those are the people, they get kind of sticky, I call them, the kind of the critical people. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and make this pot without water. We're going to see what we can do and not use water, and this is where I need your help, because out of habit, I'm going to reach for the water because that's what a potter does. And so as I reach for the water, you have to yell no, okay? Just so I remember not to do it. So watch. You guys are slow. Come on, I would have had my hand in there. You got to be ready. If I just like lean, you got to start yelling at me because you don't want me to get water on this because we're doing that illustration. Now, listen, these people, here's what happens. Let's get started here. And you go a week or, you know, a couple weeks and you don't read the word and things aren't too bad. You're, you know, again, if you're a person who tried pottery, you're going, dude, I never made a pot that good, you know, and even with water. But you see, you're there, and Satan's there, and here's what Satan's saying. You don't need to read your Bible. Those pastors, they just want to sell Bibles. You don't really. Look at those guys. You're so much better. Here's what we do. We go, yeah, huh? You know, we're kind of believing it. So you know, and Jesus, he loves us so much. He's not going to leave us. Oh, by the way, you're getting real sticky on the outside. You know, you're probably, and some of those people, here's what happens in my experience in ministry. Those people come and they go, man, I come to church this morning and, you know, wow. You know, did you even study today? For today's lesson, and you know that worship team, they need to tune their instruments, man. They're like way off, and the parking lot's full, and I had a park over here, and a children's ministry, and you know this is going on. We become one of those sticky, critical people. We need to get back into Word. So listen, Jesus is going to bring a little bit more pressure in our life, and as the pressure comes, you know you grow and you stretch some, and you're stretch. Oh, Pastor Sam, look at my life. It's ripped and it's torn. And he says, I know. He says, you weren't reading your word. How do you know? You're all sticky on the outside. We can all feel you one of those sticky, gritty people. So now, once again, all we have to do is wad him up and mush him down, and we can make a pot. Now, we're going to take him off. And these guys don't even want to come off the wheel very. They're not very cooperative here. So we'll get him off. And look at that mouth. He's got a great mouth down there. See this great big mouth? Okay, so we're going to put him here, and you keep an eye. This is the dry guy, okay? Now, this next one is the one I relate to the most, and do we have any patient people out there? Not one. Man, this is a pretty big auditorium. Come on, one of you got to raise your... It's usually kids raise their hands. Yeah, they can't even spell it. Oh, no, I can use it now. We're done with that part. Thank you. Good, you get, all right. I thought you were going, no, kids aren't patient. But usually the kids say, you know, I'm patient. I'm thinking you can't even spell it, much less be it, you know. But listen, I am so impatient. I'm like the world's worst, you know. And the guys at the last service, they could relate because they're coming to church at 8 o'clock in the morning. So they're definitely impatient. They can't wait for church, you know, and you guys are a little more patient, but not like the next service. They're the real patient ones. But see, I can't. I think microwaves are too slow. I don't know about you guys, but this is the 21st century. I think we could develop something that could boil water in less than a minute, don't you? I mean, come on. We have all this technology. We got all this computer stuff. I'm sure we could do it if we'd put our minds to it. So, and my wife, there's a special place in heaven for her because she lives with me, you know. She's kind of on the other extreme. She's pretty patient, and I'm like, you know, in the morning, I think it's in the afternoon. In the afternoon, I think it's evening, and in the evening, I'm into the next day already. So I'm one of those people, and some of you can relate. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, if you notice when I work on the wheel, that the wheel turns just right. When I'm working on the clay, it doesn't go too fast, and it doesn't go too slow. And isn't that God? He's never early. But he's never late. He's always right on time, and that's the way he works in our life. But for some of us, it's not quick enough, and we want him to hurry up. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and make a pot at the speed we think God should work. Now, this is kind of normal here. This is what would be good to work at. But for the impatient people, we want to go this fast. Now, this is the only time during the presentation I have no clue where this clay is going. So you guys in the front, are you ready? You know, because this is some more. Yeah, you got it. You know, this is your participation time. And especially if it gets on the floor. You know, we don't want to mess up the floor. So if it flies out there, I want you to dive and put your body between the floor and the clay and catch that clay. Now, it's not as critical here. I was at Red Bluff Wednesday night. They have a brand new facility, brand new carpet. And they were already laying down before I started. You know, they're not going to let it touch that carpet. But anyway, and I am serious. We don't know where this is going to go. Now, so this is normal. And this is how most of us want God to work. We want, or not a lot of us, want him to work this fast. Let's see what happens here. Listen, he falls apart before Satan even has time to whisper to him, you know? So look, we're going to put him here, and we're going to take him off, and we're going to tell him to chill out over here and rest and learn patience. So we'll stick him here. Now you see why I make a pot in the beginning? If I wouldn't have made that first pot, you guys would be thinking, all this guy can do is make a mess. Look at all he's got is this stuff. I don't think he's a potter. And you'd be calling Sam, what's going on? You'd be using your cell phones. Get this guy out of here. But here's something I know. You're beginning to relate already. Someplace up here, you're looking at this stuff and you're going, wow, that's me. Wow, that's me. Wow. You know, I have some people come, I'm everything. You know, I'm all of this. But you're beginning to relate and you're beginning to visually see your life with Christ. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make a pot and we're going to talk about the process and we're going to talk about how God works in our lives as the potter works with the clay. And you know, the first thing that the potter does is something that, you know, I don't do in front of everybody because, frankly, it's not great to watch. And you just get a block of clay. And, you know, today we generally buy our clay. It comes in 25-pound blocks. In Jeremiah's day, he would have got a big clump of clay, a big block of clay. And as you when you first begin to work with it, you take that clay and you pick it up and you slam it down. And then you pick it up, turn it, slam it down again. Pick it up, turn it, slam it down again. Pick it up, turn it, slam it down again. You do that for about 15 minutes because you want to get the moisture evenly distributed throughout the clay. In other words, you're making the clay the best possible clay it can be to throw with. Any of you feel like you've been slammed around a little bit? You know, sometimes we think we're getting slammed around, and oftentimes we rebuke the devil, right? We go, devil, stop it. And Jesus says, excuse me? I'm just trying to work in your life here. I'm trying to get you to a place where I can work with you. And then after that part, you see, the potter picks out the piece that he's going to work with, however much he needs, and he takes that piece of clay, and he just begins to do what's called wedging. You push and stretch it out and roll it towards you and stretch it out and roll it towards you. You're trying to get all the air bubbles out. Remember making bread before bread machines, and you had to knead the dough? It's a very similar process, and you want to get all the air bubbles out. Why? Because air bubbles are going to ruin the pot. Now imagine that piece of clay. It's been slammed and slammed and slammed, and it finally gets over that. Now you grab it, and you're just stretching it out and rolling it, stretching it out and rolling it. And the clay at the end of that's going, are we done? And the potter's going, we haven't even started. You see, and sometimes we feel that way, don't we, if we're honest, man? We're at the place where we're going, God, I don't know how much more I can take. And you know what the Lord would say? Listen carefully. He would say, trust me. I know what I'm doing. You see, I've made thousands of pots. I know what I'm doing. And the clay's got to trust me because, you see, I know exactly what the clay needs. And you as the clay and God is the potter, you need to trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's made a lot of saints. He knows how to work in your life. And you just need to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. So after that, you take the clay and, you know, it's all worn out and tired. Oh, by the way, you know, I kind of talk like the clay. My clay never did talk to me. And you know what? I know that my wife tells me I have to talk. I know these guys aren't real up here. You know, I know. She says, Pat, you talk about them like they're real people. And you need to let people know that they're not real. I know that. But they're my friends. So, you know, they're who I relate to. So it's okay. But then you get the clay and you put it on the wheel and you center it. And you got to put pressure on the top and pressure on the sides, as we showed earlier, to get it turning centrifugally with the wheel. And again, you want that process done so you can make a good vessel. You don't want an all out of round vessel, an out of shape vessel. And now after that pressure, I've said pressure a lot, haven't I? I'm going to say it a lot more. And I want to ask you, how many of you this morning, as you were getting ready for church and having your quiet time and really seeking the Lord, anybody in here pray for a little more pressure in their life? I mean, do you ever get up in the morning, you know, do you ever get up and get ready for your day and go, God, just bring me a little more pressure, just a little bit more on my plate. I don't have quite enough, and I really need to get stressed out today. We never pray for that, do we? But God knows what we need. So you do the pressure, and then what you do is, to get it ready to throw, you just take your fingers and you press them right down in the center of the clay. Now, that's got to hurt. I'm sure if the clay could talk, about now the clay would be going, ah, that hurts. And you see, I liken this to the times where God touches us. And you know those places that you don't share with anybody? I mean, you don't even share with your spouse. They're those secret, secret places. And God puts his finger on them and he touches those places. And we're screaming, God, stop, that hurts. Listen to what the Lord would say. He says, let me have that. You see, I've got to do this in order to make a pot. I can't make a pot unless I do this. And here's what the Lord would tell you. I got to have that to make you the saint that I want to make you. Let me have that area. But God, it hurts. He says, I know it hurts. It's painful. But I need it. I need to do that. You need to trust the potter. He knows what he's doing. Allow him to do it. Now, after we hit this spot, you know, is then what I'll do is I'm going to take and I'm just going to pull the clay directly back towards me to open it up to get it to the place where I can begin throwing. Now, you know, these steps are not like 1, 2, 3 in your life and you never do them again. Some of them are repeated in our lives. And, you know, as I open this up, though, I liken this to, well, when you're a new Christian and you first begin and you just allow the Lord to use you, he puts something in your life and you just begin serving him. And I think we all should take that step where we kind of get out of our comfort zone. We get opened up. We get become vulnerable. And, you know, for me, my wife and I, when we got saved in this small town, we went to a little bitty church. There was 12 people in the church that we went to. Finally got courage to go to church. Maybe that's someone in here this morning. You finally got courage to walk into a church. Happens to be in an ex-theater, but you walk in and you're going, this is different. And then you're seeing a guy making pots and you're going, this is way different than I expected church to be. Well, I remember we walked in this little church. There were 12 people, had wooden pews. And, you know, in wooden pews, these wooden pews had not been sanded or anything for years, so you got splinters. You know, it's just weird. And we walked in, and I remember we looked around. My wife and I are in our early 30s, and we walk in, and the youngest person, I think, was 75 years old out of the 12. And we're looking around going, this is a little different. And then the church was broken down. Like the stage, it all slanted downhill. It was up on the side of a hill, so I guess the church is moving, and it's slanting. And I remember this sweet, dear lady's playing a piano like this. Ding, 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 you know. And she didn't hit too many notes up here because it was way up there, you know. But and so here's what I did. I thought, well, I can help out this church, and this is my stepping out. I just began to fix things, you know. Doors were broken. Other things were done. And so we just began fixing things and working. And then, you know, pretty soon the pastor's, he's saying, hey, Pat, you know, why don't you pray to begin a service, or, you know, why don't you help out with this or help out with that? And you see, as you begin to do that, all of a sudden you're growing, you see, because Jesus wants to use you. And as you begin to grow, you begin to change, and you know, then God begins to use you more and more. And I remember the pastor, finally he came to me after we'd been there maybe a year or so, and he came and he said, you know, because he was doing two campuses, and he says, hey, Pat, he says, why don't you teach like an adult Sunday school class, you know, after the service, because we had an early service, and he had to leave. And he says, why don't you do that, because I see you have the gift of teaching. And I said, yeah, well, I think you have the gift of joking, you know, because, you see, I never had a successful pottery student. As I told you, I never could teach anybody how to make pottery. Could be because I pushed them out of the way and finished the pot for them because of my patience issue. But, you know, I never had anybody make that I taught to make a pot. And so I'm thinking, I can't. But other people began to tell me, we really think you have the gift of teaching. And so, you know, I figured not everybody has a gift of joking. So, you know, there might be some truth to this. So I remember as he asked me, I studied and studied, and, you know, I said, okay, I'll do it. And you know, I remember studying, and I remember going and looking, and I prayed, and I studied, and I prayed. And I'm a firm believer you got to teach what you know. And I was a pretty young Christian still, so all I knew were the basics. So I'm going to do a whole class on basic Christianity. And I tell everybody, we're going to do a class on basic Christianity. And well, no, I didn't tell them yet. I made up my mind. And so we get ready, and he left, and there's a curtain there. And I said, okay, everybody who wants to go to adult Sunday school, go behind a curtain. Like 6 people stayed. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, that's big, you know, when you have a church of 12. So, you know, that's like 50%. And so, you know, I'm excited. And I went around the corner, and there's 6 people. 3 couples are there. But they were all veteran missionaries of 25 years on a mission field. And I said, today we're going to study basic Christianity. And those dear saints, they looked at me and they go, well, that's okay. And I go, no, let's just pray and go home. You know, you guys, you know, and they go, no, 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 teach us. That's what God gave you. Teach us. It's okay. Go ahead and teach us. And I taught it, and they had the gift of mercy. They said it was really good, you know, and they were a blessing. And so we got through that. And then see, after that, I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College. And here's where you begin to grow. And after Calvary Chapel Bible College, I planted a church in Bisbee, Arizona, at Calvary Chapel. And then after a couple years, 2.5 years of that, I merged with another church in the city we're in now, Sierra Vista. And you see, I got to Sierra Vista, and everything was wonderful, and everything was good, and going on some mission trips, and the church is growing slowly, and people are maturing, and I'm teaching and just loving it. And I'm thinking, this is it. I'm thinking, here's where God wants me, and I'm where he wanted me, and I was and still am. And yet I got to the point where everything got comfortable, and you kind of get on in a relaxed mode. And I was kind of like this pot right here, and I'm thinking, I'm done. I'm finished, and this is what I'm going to be. And how many of you would give me $5 for this pot? One. Two. All right. Couple people, they have the gift of mercy, by the way. You know, I always tell the pastors, watch when I ask that question, you'll find a people with mercy, you know. Well, most of you didn't raise your hand. Why? Because it's not finished, right? You're looking at it, and frankly, here's what you're saying. You're going, dude, that's ugly. Well, I think it's ugly. You see, as a potter, I don't even think it's just ugly. It's way ugly. It's not finished. And I look at it, and I go, it's not finished. And yet, let me ask you something. If you're not willing to pay $5 for an unfinished pot, why is this where you're willing to stop with Jesus? You see, we get to a point, we go, I'm done. We don't tell him in so much, but we don't let him do anything else. We're not going to get out of our comfort zone. We think, I'm finished. And that's where I was. And then my wife, she came to me, and she goes, hey, Pat. She goes, you know, I'm getting ready to do the women's retreat, and, you know, we're putting it together, and we're going to do it on Jeremiah 18. You know that passage we just read? And she says, you know, I'm getting it together and putting it together. And I go, oh, honey. I said, that's great. I said, you know what? I can help you outline it. By now, I'm a Bible teacher, you know, and I can help you outline it and get everything together. And, oh, it'll be wonderful. You made pots with me. You know all about it. So, hey, it'll be a great retreat. And she goes, oh, no, you don't understand. You're going to be our Friday night guest speaker. And I said, I don't know, man. Going to a women's retreat, huh? I said, no, I don't think I'll go. I'll pass. And she goes, no, seriously, I want you to make pots and teach. Now, listen, I had made pots, and I had taught God's word, but I never put the two together. And now my wife's challenging me to do this, and here's what I did, like a lot of us. You sitting there, no, I'm not going to do that. She goes, come on, honey. And I go, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. Everything's nice right now, and I'm pretty content where I'm at, and I don't want to do it. And she goes, and I said, besides, I don't even think I can. I don't even think I can make a pot anymore. At that time, I hadn't touched clay in probably about 6 years. And she said, oh, come on. And I had my potter's wheel. Let's get it out of the shed, get it out of storage, and let's see if you can make a pot. Well, of course I can. I made thousands of pots. It's like riding a bike. And she goes, see, you can still make a pot. Now you can do it. And I go, no, I can't. I don't want to do it. And you ladies, you're such encouragers, you know. And she comes, and she goes, come on, honey, please just do this. And I go, honey, I don't want to do it. And she goes, come on, just try. And my last ditch effort was, honey, I don't know what to wear to a women's retreat. Well, listen, I did that women's retreat, and that was like 5 years ago now, I think. Almost 5 years ago. And here's what blows my mind. I got out of my comfort zone once again. And I did that women's retreat, and you know, since that time, God has allowed me to go literally around the world doing this pottery presentation. Now, this blows my mind. I'm from Bisbee, Arizona. You know, going to Tucson was huge. You know, this is like, whoa, we got out into the whole world. And God has taken this guy from Bisbee, Arizona, and let me go around the world. Here's my point. I'm not boasting. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. God's got something great in mind for you. You just got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to let him use you. You got to let him do what he desires to do in your life. Don't hold back. Now, as we look at this, what's going to take, do you know what clay is? Do you have an idea of what clay is? It's dirt. It's pretty common stuff, right? Most of you walked on it this morning. You know, it's all over. There's a whole state of this stuff called Georgia, you know, and it's there. And you know, it's all clay. Clay's very common. This is worth about 25 cents. That's the total value of this clay right now, maybe 25 cents. Now, what's going to take it from something 25 cents to make it into a pitcher like this worth $200 or $300? Well, maybe 25. But as we think about that, to take it from that and make it worth and give it value, what's going to change it? My hands. You see, my hands are going to give this clay its value. And you need to understand that, because some people tell me, oh, I think it's the will. Okay, let's turn the will on. Here, we'll turn it on. And let's go out and let's go to the coffee ministry and let's all go get some triple espressos and get, you know, wide awake this morning so we can function and then come back and you know what this is going to look like? Same exact thing. You see, the thing that changes it, the thing that molds it, the thing that shapes it and gives it value are my hands. What gives you value in life? It's the touch of the Master's hand. It's Jesus Christ working in your life. And, you know, there's way too many people that think it's other things. You know, something like, well, you know what, if I get a better education, and there's nothing wrong with getting an education, that's a good thing, unless you think that's where you're going to find your value. Or some think, if I'm more successful in my career, there's nothing wrong with being successful in your career, unless that's where you're placing your value. And then you're going to be in trouble. The thing that gives you value and eternal value is God working and molding and shaping your life. And you need to understand that. Without my hands, this has no value. So keep that in mind as we work. Now, once again, as I sit down, the clay may be going, hey, Pat, what am I going to be, huh? What am I going to be? Tell me what I'm going to be. And I would tell it, you're going to be quiet while I work. That's what you're going to be. But, you know, as I work on this clay, once again, before I ever sat down, I knew what I was going to make. I had in my mind what I was going to do. And you know, God working in your life, He knows exactly what He wants to do in your life. He's not like haphazardly working. Oh, speaking of that, you know, if I'm working on the clay and I go, oops, God doesn't do that. That's kind of where the presentation breaks down, because I have worked at times and you get towards the top and do something and I'll go, oops, and I look out there and somebody's like, I knew it. I'm the oops of God. God doesn't do that. That's where it breaks down, okay? Because God never works on you. He goes, oops, sorry. You know, don't get that idea. But you see, as I work on this clay, I'm gonna begin to mold and shape it. And once again, I know exactly what I want to do with it. And I'm gonna begin to, with my inside hand, I'm gonna put a little more pressure than on my outside hand, and we're gonna make it a little more, we're gonna push it out a little bit. And some of you have been wondering, what's that inside hand doing in there? Well, this is a hand doing all the work. And you see, the outside hand's just steadying things. The inside hand's doing all the work. And how does God work in our lives? He works from the inside out. Now, as I'm pushing on this, now I'm going to push it out. Now I know some of the ladies go, dude, I don't want to be pushed out anymore. We're not talking about that kind of push out, okay? You know, this is a good kind. This is a spiritual kind. And just giving it some shape and pushing it out. Now, I want you to notice, when my hands are on the clay, where are my eyes? They're on the clay, aren't they? You see, if I took my eyes off the clay, I would wreck the clay. If my hands are on the clay and I turn my boonk and I'm going to be, and I'd wreck it, right? What do you think God's attention is when He's working on you? Man, He has got His eyes focused on you. He's just watching you intently. So now look, we're going to push it out just a little bit more, give it a little bit. Now, some, you know, the pot in the beginning may be going, dude, don't do that. And then as you begin to do it, you know, he's going, oh, I kind of like that. And then he goes, push me way, way out there. Let's see how far we can go. And, you know, there's a point where you have to stop or the pot's going to collapse. And guess who knows that stopping point? The potter. I know exactly how far to push it. And the same with the Lord. Let Him do something. And don't expect Him to do too much, but don't expect Him to do too little in your life. Now, as I work on this is kind of like my favorite part. You see, I'm going to thin this up a little bit. And then I want you to check this out. This is why I do this kind of lip. Now, watch with my little pinky. Watch what happens. Is this cool? Look how the clay just follows my little pinky. I think that's so awesome. I don't know about you, but I want to follow God that way. When He pushes over here, I go over here. When He pushes over here, just His little pinky. Sometimes He's got to use a 2x4 with me. You know what I mean? I like just the pinky thing, and you go over, and we follow Him and do that. Now, the clay may be a little freaking out right now because we're going upside down, and it might be going, no, I don't want to go upside down. Then you attach it over here, and it goes, oh, okay, that wasn't too bad. You know, and you stick him over here, and now the pot's going, am I done? Am I finished? And then the potter picks up this stick, and the pot goes, dude, I saw what you did with that stick last time. You poked it right in that pot, right into it. Are you going to do that to me? Uh-huh. Is it going to hurt? Oh, yeah, it's really going to hurt. And see, some of us, we don't want any pain. And I got to stick it. Why do I have to stick the stick in there? Well, I need to trim it up. You see, as a potter, I know exactly what this pot needs. And it needs some precision work down here. And it's going to be painful, but it's what I call cutting away the flesh in our lives. You see, we hang on to some things, and God's saying, give those to me. And we're saying, but Lord, is it going to hurt? And he's going, absolutely, it's going to hurt, but it's essential. You see, I got to make it look right. Now listen, I'm not grabbing a stick and going, and just stabbing it. Some people have that view of God, that God just wants to hurt us. No. The pain is because it's necessary in order to be what God wants us to be. So look, I'm going to stick the stick in right here. And as I begin to trim, you see, it's going to make the pot look exactly the way the potter wants it to look. And the pot may be going, oh. Well, now I look pretty cool, huh? Now I'm kind of, you know, and you kind of get to the point where you're going, well, I'm kind of liking that. Well, check that out, you know. And here's this pot's going, look at me, man. I am awesome. And some of us do that. We get in ministry. Look at me, man. I'm serving in ministry. I'm in a parking lot ministry. I'm in a prayer ministry. I'm in a children's ministry. Check me out. And so this pot's going, look at me. Look at those guys. Losers. Look how awesome I am. And here's what God sees when you do that. Oh, you're going, oh, that's horrible. No, listen, God has a plan. And you see, you just take another sharp tool and poke it in here. And you get rid of this stuff. By the way, this was all flesh. This was all you, you know, and you put it over there. And God says, now we got rid of all your flesh. And now I'm going to do something with you. And this is what God had in mind the whole time. A little more pressure. You know, you always got to have a little more pressure in your life. And as you work in this, now bring this out a little bit, give it a little bit of detail, and God says, there, a cereal bowl. Now listen, some of you, I know exactly what you're thinking. You're thinking, that's just a bowl, man. You know, you had a beautiful vase, and that's just a bowl. Well, let me ask you something. You ever try and eat Cocoa Puffs out of one of these? You can't do it, can you? You know, you get your box of Cocoa Puffs and a jug of milk, and you want a bowl, don't you? Well, some of you are so, you know, some of you don't even use a bowl. You just pour the milk in the box and eat. But, you know, most of us, we look for a bowl. A bowl becomes important. Here's my point. You need to let God make you what he wants to make you. You see, everything's important. Nothing is just, oh, it's just a bowl. No, that bowl becomes important in certain situations. Now, when I made pottery, I made just hundreds of different things. As my wife and I would make pottery, I made salt and pepper shakers. I made cream and sugars. I made dinnerware sets. I made casseroles. I even made bathroom sinks when we were doing it for a living. And let me tell you something. Whether you were a little pepper shaker this big or a bathroom sink this big, you were important to me. Every single piece was touched by my hand. And don't ever forget that in your life. You need to let God make you what God wants to make you. Now, I brought some pots with me. Just in case I don't get one made, I can always hold one up and go, see, I can make a pot. But then you guys are going, Arizona, Mexico. I looked up on a map and Sierra Vista is like a mile from Mexico. How do we know you didn't buy that in Mexico and bring it with you? How do we know that's one of your pots? You know how you can tell my pots? My name's on the bottom. You see, I sign all of my pots. And you know, that's and for me, you know, I can tell my pots. I can go in people's houses. I've gone in people's houses. And I look and I see one of my pots up on the shelf. And I go, I made that. You see, because I know every pot I've ever made. I remember when we first went to Sierra Vista, there was a lady. We used to do baptisms at her and her husband's house. And she was real hyper. She taught jazzercise. And drink Mountain Dew, you know. So she's one of those ladies and real bubbly and bouncy and, you know, you know the type. And they're just like all over the place, you know. And you can't hold them still long enough to even talk to them. And I remember I went in the house and I go, Becky, I made that pot. And here's how she does. You did not! You know, that's how she talked all the time. And I go, yeah, I really made that. No, you didn't. And we're having this conversation. And I said, go pick it up and look. And she went and got the pot down. And she goes, and I told her, look on the bottom. Here's what it says. And she read what it says. She goes, you made this pot. And I go, that's what I'm saying. Now listen, I tell you that for this important reason. God doesn't have to grab you by your ankles and turn you upside down. Are you mine? He knows you're his. You see, I've been intimate with this clay. I've touched your clay on the inside and the outside and the inside of the inside. I've touched this clay in every conceivable place my hands have touched it that there is. And God touches you in every conceivable place. He knows you. He knows you on the inside and the outside and the inside of the inside. He's been intimate with you. So you got to understand that. Now, there's 21 steps to making a pot. So you guys are just watching one, and you think I touched it a lot. Imagine 21 steps. Now, this is where we have to stop. The next process is the firing process. And, you know, pastors will never let me, like, I'd like to build a kiln right here, bring in a gas line, light a fire. They're going, not in my church, you're not lighting a fire. They go, come on. The worst that could happen is we'd burn the building down, you know. So it's okay. And they go, no, you're not going to do it. So I'll just kind of explain it to you, you know. In Bisbee, where I was making pottery for a living, Bisbee's a mile high. So it's a little bit cooler, especially in the winter, you know. And you stick all the pots in there and you know, you brick it up in the night. You do it the night before and you brick it up. And us potters are kind of weird. We like to look in there, check things out, you know, smile at the pots. Okay, so you leave a couple bricks loose where you can look in there, and then when I would light the kiln, you know, in the morning, early morning, you'd light it and you'd start it off real slow, and I had four big burners going in, and you light them in the beginning, they're going like this, shh, and the pots are going, oh, thank you, man, it was kind of cold this morning, and this is feeling so good, and then you turn it up a little bit, and I go, oh, just right, now it's nice. You turn it up a little bit more, and you go, man, it's like Chico in July in here. Get your hand off of that thing. And then you turn it up some more. And then at the end, the burners are going like this. And the potter's looking in there, and you peek in there, and it goes from red hot to white hot to translucent. You look, and there's nothing more beautiful to a potter than just when that glaze starts to melt and it's becoming translucent. You see it just starting to run. And the potter's going, yes! And the pot's going, I'm dying! And the potter goes, good, because I want you to die to yourself and live for me. You see, that's why I created you, so that you could be what I intended you to be. And isn't that what God wants for all of us? It's exactly what he wants for us. Now, as I travel around, people ask me, do you have any pots for sale? Do you bring some stuff that you can sell? And I'm a full-time pastor. I don't have time to make things to sell. And they say, well, you brought that one pot, or you got a couple there. Can I have that? And I go, no, it's still got to be fired. And they go, but you know what? I know somebody that knows somebody that has an aunt that knows somebody that has a cousin that has a kiln. So could I take it? He'll fire it. And I go, no. You don't understand. Some stranger's not going to stick another stranger's pot in their kiln because they don't know what temperature the clay is. They don't know whether it's got an air bubble. They're not going to risk it blowing up in there and doing things. No, really. I know somebody that knows somebody that has an aunt that has a cousin that knows somebody, and this will be fine. I go, no, it won't work. And I said, besides, there's 21 steps, and there's a step that this pot needs that you don't know about because I've examined it and looked at it. And they go, well, what's that step? Teach it to me. Remember, I can't teach people how to make pots, so I'm going, that's going to be kind of hard. And they go, no, I'm a quick learner. Just tell me what it needs, and I'll do that step. Well, you know, this pot, here's what this pot needs. How you broke the pot. Well, you see, I had to break this pot for this reason. This pot had a crack in the bottom. And if I would have fired that pot with a crack in it, it would have ruined it. It could not be used what it was intended to be used for. And you see, it could never go back to clay once it's fired. Now you say, but you broke it anyway. Look, it's broken. But look, all I have to do is take this living water, pour it on this clay, rub it, pour it, rub it, pour it, rub it. And you know what? In a little bit of time, I've got soft, pliable clay. You see, if you fire it, it's completely ruined. It can't go back to clay. Remember in the Bible where it says that Judas went into the temple, remember, and threw the money back at the priest that had given him 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, and he went back in the temple and threw it back at those Pharisees and says, here's your money, and it says they took that money and they bought the potter's field. Well, the potter's field was a place in that day when they would unload their kiln, they would look at the pot, it's broke, it's cracked, you can't use it. So what would they do? Chunk it out in the field, man, just throw it out there and break it. It made that field good for nothing until our day. Now the archaeologists, they kind of love it, but you know, at that time it was a drag, you just ruined the field with a bunch of pot shards. Wouldn't it be better to be broken and turned back to soft, pliable clay than to be fired and to not be used? Now here's something I know. You're up here someplace. So all of us are someplace on this platform. And you need to kind of figure out where you are. You see, I think the broken people, they're hurting. Then they came to church this morning, and you know, sometimes we don't even feel safe in church to tell somebody that we're broken. I'm broken. This should be the safe place to do this. This should be the place I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. I need somebody to come alongside me and pray with me and somebody to come alongside and read the Bible with me, because right now my life is shattered, just like this pot. Oh, some of us, look, we're this hard piece of clay. Look, here he is over here. You know what happened to him in this hour? He got harder. That's what somebody said. He got harder because he wasn't paying attention. Man, my prayer is nobody's like this at this stage of the presentation. Now, you have him. You've got the off-centered one. You got the dry one. Don't forget our impatient friend. Some of you are saying, dude, I'm the bowl, I'm the vase. I'm doing great with the Lord right now. Well, if that's you, listen, did you notice the bowl's already serving? He's already catching water as I'm working. And you know what? If you're the bowl or the vase or the pitcher, then you need to be serving these guys around here and making sure that they're okay and working with them. But you know what, overall, you know what you and I need to learn? There's always hope in Jesus Christ, right? You see, as you look on this stage, there's not one piece of clay up here that's hopeless. Every piece of clay, there's hope in Jesus Christ. And you and I need to understand, you can trust the potter. Just like I've made thousands of pieces of clay, I'm not going to break a pot just to break a pot. I'm going to break a pot because it needs breaking in order to do what I need to do with it. And the same in our lives. God's doing what we need in order to do what he can do. We need to trust the potter. Put your life in his hands. Trust him, and he's going to do the absolute best for you. It's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to feel good, but he's going to do exactly what you need. So we're going to close here in a moment in prayer, and what I want you to do is just consider where you're at. And as we stand up and pray, I want you to begin to tell the Lord. You don't need to tell anybody but him. You tell him where you're at. And you might be several places, you know. So I do this presentation and I think, well, I'm kind of the hard guy today, and well, maybe I'm the dry guy, maybe I'm the broken guy. Well, Lord, maybe I'm all of them. And you know, you need to pray for God to give you the faith to come out of wherever you're stuck right now, so that you can be the bowl, or you can be the pitcher, or you can be the vase. Let's stand up and pray. Father, as we right now get ready to leave here, I pray, Jesus, that you would work in our lives. God, some of us are broken. Our hearts are broken. Our spirits are broken. We're in that place, Lord, where, God, if we're real honest, we think you've abandoned us. I pray for those people right now. Jesus, touch them. Bless them and encourage them. Let them know that you know exactly where they're at. You know exactly what's going on. Let them know how much you love them. And this brokenness in their life is just part of the process for them right now. And I pray you would give them just that mustard grain of faith to trust you through this. Lord, whether we're off-centered or dry or impatient, God, just speak to us right now. We want to be changed. We want to be more like you. And as you maintain an attitude of prayer, I want to speak to those who are maybe came in here hardened this morning, and I want to give you that opportunity to change right now as we're getting ready to leave. You see, my prayer is you came in hard, but the word began to soften your heart. And, you know, if God worked in you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer. And you know what? If you want to receive salvation this morning, that gift of eternal life, you simply need to repeat this prayer after me. And it's going to go something like this. You're going to confess to Jesus that you're a sinner. You're going to tell him that, agree with him. And then you're going to ask him to forgive your sins based on the cross, based on what he did on Calvary. And you know what? He's going to hear that prayer. And then you can thank him for forgiving your sins and ask him to change your life, come into your heart. And you're never going to be the same. You're going to have that soft, pliable, moldable heart. So if you want to do that, you can just say this prayer with me. And you can either say it out loud or just say it in your heart. It doesn't matter. Volume doesn't matter. What matters is sincerity. You need to be sincere this morning as you're speaking to the Lord. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I sinned against you, God. I'm asking for forgiveness based on the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and to change me. Mold me and shape me. Make me that new creation. And God, I want you to be my Lord. And I want you to be my Savior. If you said that prayer with me just now or something like it and you meant it sincerely, I want you to lift up your hand so I can see you. I see you right up front. I see you over here. God bless you. I see you off to my right. Anyone else this morning? I see you off to my left. I see you up front. God bless you. Anyone else? I see you in the right in the center. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? The greatest thing you could do right now. Father, we love you and thank you, God. We thank you for those commitments right now. For those who raise their hand, because God, we know you heard them. And we rejoice in that fact. And we pray that they would have those soft and pliable hearts, that as they leave here today, they would really have an understanding of what you want to do in their lives. Jesus, for all of us, don't let us leave this place without knowing that we can trust the potter, without knowing that we can commit our lives to you, no matter where we're at. And God, I pray for that faith in our hearts to read your word, that faith in our hearts to be centered on you, that faith in our hearts to be patient, waiting to see what you're going to do. So God, work in us and be glorified in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate with those who made that commitment? That's awesome. You know, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. Don't you think they're kind of stoked right now? You see, I don't think the angels go, oh, that's nice. I think they're like partying. I think they're having a great time in heaven because people went from darkness to light. They're excited about that, and we should be excited. Listen, if you raise your hand this morning, I know we have some information, a material Bible up here for you. We do want you to have a Bible so you can come up front. If you need some prayer, some of the elders, myself will be up here, you can, and pastors, you can pray and come up if you need some prayer. But you know what? Most of all, man, I'm praying that you leave here today knowing that you can trust the potter. Just like I've made thousands of pots, listen, God's made hundreds of thousands of millions of saints. He's good at it. All you need to do is trust him. God bless you.